Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we have finished The Goblin Emperor by Katherine Addison. Done with the book, so everything's fair game again. I'll get us warmed up, though, Dan.
Okay. Do it, Luke.
Because I had an interesting experience yesterday that I want to talk about.
Real life warm up. Let's hear it.
Real life warm up. I went to what's described as a networking event.
Classic. Yesterday. A Saturday networking event. Bold.
Which I'm not a networking guy. I don't like doing it. Mm-hmm. I recognize the value in it. I do genuinely think that it's important.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
Because like I don't want to talk to straight strangers.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. This is labor for me.
We talk at strangers, okay? That's who right. what we do.
That's what I want to do. but here's the thing. So the networking event, and the reason I went is because it was at a live sporting event. I got to go to a baseball game. Dan, to go to an MLB baseball game.
Love that.
And I'm always into going to professional sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do a very good job of making it entertaining.
Yeah. Also, it's live. It's
live.
Big part of it.
Very important to be live. Have you ever been to a professional sporting event?
Look, I get that I'm not like a big sports guy. The fact that I'm a 32-year-old man and you're asking me if I've ever in my life been to a professional sporting event.
I still think this is a fair question for you.
Of course. I've been to many. Okay.
You've been to many.
I've been to, I would describe it as more than a dozen.
More than, whoa. This is surprising. Okay.
I've been to Kings games. Okay.
Kings games. Kings. You are from Sacramento. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
I'm sure. Do you agree with me that like going to these is a lot of fun, even if you're not a sports fan?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, bet I'll do it. It was like some event that's put on by like an organization, in my like area. Right. And my company had like a couple tickets and they were like, we need someone to go to these. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Free food, free drinks,
what?
Baseball game.
Oh, hell yeah. You're going.
All right?
Yeah, you're going.
I'm going.
Sure. I've come around now. At first, I was like, Saturday networking? Absolutely not. But you make this at a baseball game.
Well, yeah, it was like, okay, there's going to be like two or three people from my company that I already know. We're mostly going to be chatting and watching the game amongst ourselves. Maybe we'll meet a couple people, but whatever.
Yeah. This is, I'm locked in.
Yes, I'm in. Okay. I go, and I'm gonna have to give you some specifics about the arrangement.
Okay.
Because we have this like patio thing, right?
You got like a box, or is it a different situation?
Yeah, it's like a box kind of thing.
Yep.
Now, what I was anticipating is for it to be like there's this patio, and you can go there to get food and like talk to people, but also you can go to your seats and watch the game.
Yeah.
That's not what it is.
Oh, no.
What it is it's just the patio.
There's no seats. There's no, like, place
there's
to watch
no
the game.
There's high tables.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, so it's, like, a restaurant almost. Oh. And, like, at the edge of the patio, like, if you stand at the edge, you can watch the game.
Oh,
right?
No.
But, like, there's already a decent amount of people doing that. And, like, if you have to, like, stand if you're going to do that. So, like... I've now come to find out that like I am at what is functionally a loud sports bar.
Yeah.
With people I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
That's
I want to
bad.
Watch the game. Why? Why do I not have seats? I was so mad.
Yeah, I feel like this is honestly worse than that. I feel like this is worse because you know that the thing is happening right there, but you have no comfortable way of watching the thing.
Yeah.
And that makes it worse.
And also, let me just say, this is a specific thing to baseball.
Yeah.
Where the field is fairly large, but all the action happens in one corner of it. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm on like, this place is on like the home, home base side of it.
Yeah.
So like from the area, you can see some of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the outfield. But like, unless you're right at the edge, you are not seeing the pitcher or the hitter or any of the bases.
Oh, man.
And it's like, this is one of the premier options that we're doing. Like, this is the option,
Luke,
that people are paying a lot of money for.
Right, because they're there to do business, Luke.
I know.
They're there to do business. They don't have time to watch the silly game. The game is where business happens.
Give me nosebleeds.
Luke, was this a sold-out game?
No.
Because something I've done that I'm not ashamed of is you spot a seat that you're like, no one sat 100%. There. No one sat there for 15 minutes. I'm going to watch it for another 10. I'm going to watch it for another 15. If no one has sat in that seat for half an hour, I'm going to sit in it.
Yeah.
And then you also...
And there were plenty, honestly.
Yeah. I've definitely been there before. And I mean, you have so many great excuses too. If somebody actually does come up and is like, oh, hey, I think that's my seat. You're just like, oh, I must have read my ticket wrong. Sorry. And then you just find another. Oh, so good. It's one of my.
And I absolutely would have done this if like my social setting had been slightly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I was mad.
Yeah. That's tough. You know what, actually, Luke, now that we're having work talk, I do have some work talk here. That I didn't realize. We had at my college, we had an impromptu meeting from the dean of my college.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Impromptu meeting because there were some concerns raised at our last meeting that he wasn't there for. So he was trying to be like, hey, look, like I'll have another special meeting where I can answer all your questions. Buddy talked for half an hour before opening up the floor to questions out of our 1 hour meeting.
Nice.
Nobody was happy about that. Little filibuster action. I asked a question that I didn't feel like he really answered that well. And then a day later, we have like a faculty drinks thing that we do every Friday where the faculty get together and we just like hang out and at a brewery. Buddy shows up, the dean shows up, and decides in this setting to ask me specifically if he answered my question.
Ooh, interesting.
First off, you're not actually asking me that question in this setting. Like, I'm not going to confront you in this fun social setting about the fact that you did a bad meeting. That's not what I'm going to do, but I'm also not going to be like, oh yeah, totally good guy. So I'm left in the position of him being like, did I answer your question? I was like, well, you know, visibly trying to come up with my answer. Like, you really shouldn't have asked me that fucking question right now, buddy. Eventually he gives me an out. He's like, you didn't have to like the answer, but did I answer it? And I was just like, basically, yes. Now let's stop talking about this.
Nice. I love this because you're right. Like, he tried to do a chess move.
Yeah.
Of being like, I want to set you up such that you have to, like, say that I answered this correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Dan is the wrong person to do that to.
Correct. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me because I will judo, use your own momentum against you. You'll be on the mat.
I might have quailed under the pressure.
Yeah, not me.
But Dan's not going to.
Especially considering I am surrounded by faculty that I've like been talking shit about this for the last few days with. So I know they're listening to this being like, no, you didn't fucking answer our questions. So I'm like, buddy, you've got no allies here.
Yeah.
You've got no allies here, and you've drawn your blade. Unwise. Unwise, sir.
I love the sword analogy coming out.
Yeah. I mean, you got to.
Okay. Interesting. That sounds awkward.
Yeah, not good.
when he showed up, were you guys all like, ah, dang?
I honestly was like, fuck. I was mostly like, he better not bring up this fucking meeting that he bombed. You're not allowed to do that, buddy.
Yeah.
Do it on your own time. Don't do it on the fun social event time.
Ugh. Man.
Anyway.
Love a little work talk between Luke and Dan.
Luke and Dan had a tough work week, but you know what? We're back at it. It's pod time, Luke.
Speaking of
people who had a tough work week, Luke, let's talk about the Goblin Emperor, huh? Let's talk about Maya.
He has, in fact, had a tough time. Well, good and bad.
Yeah.
I don't know,
Luke. The fact, anytime you have to execute a bunch of people, I think you've had a bad time.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just me, though. I don't know about you, but for me?
Sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, we finished the Goblin Emperor, Luke. Where do we want to start here?
Well, okay, I'll start us. So our guy Kelahar, mm-hmm. I think is how we're pronouncing his name.
Yeah.
The guy who's been his little detective.
Yes.
His magic detective.
Yes.
Has gone on this trip, right? And he's sent back a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Documenting his findings.
Yep.
I feel like Kelahar loves a story.
Absolutely.
As we learned last week when he told an unnecessary story that the point of it was that he was gay, but the story is like completely irrelevant. Similarly,
yeah.
He writes this letter.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you be more concise?
Well, Luke, like, I think he loves to gas himself up. Like, I think we're learning a lot about Kelahar. And one of the things that we're learning is that he loves to humble brag. Because the first story he tells, humble brag. This letter, did you notice in this letter how he multiple times is like, hey, so first I showed up and I got a job building aircraft because it's, you know, I'm pretty skilled. And he's like, but that wasn't quite what I needed. So I got another job, like doing something else related to the aircraft. I can't remember what, but he was just like, yeah, I got all these jobs. It was pretty easy to get employed doing this work that seems somewhat technical, but I'm kind of just a genius. So I figured it out.
Loved me immediately, so they were willing to talk.
I got invited to all the cool parties. We didn't even watch the baseball game. We just networked the whole time. He is constantly tooting his own horn.
Yes, this is true. And like, it kept being each step he had to outline how he achieved it.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude. I know you want me to hear this because like, I'm sure all these steps were difficult and you're highlighting how successful you were with each of them and how smart you were to take each step.
Yep.
But like, I don't need to hear all of them. I need to hear the outcome.
Right. Yeah. I'm a busy man. I've got a lot of letters to respond to.
Like, sure. Give me the highlights of how you learned this.
Yeah.
But I don't need the full report.
I also think, Luke, that you come up with a code.
Because everyone reads each other's mail, you
Because
mean?
Everyone reads it, and because Savette is like, oh, yeah, don't worry about the fact that the seal was broken. Like, everybody reads everybody's mail all the time anyway, so it's a common practice thing. Hey, this is kind of a sensitive issue I'm looking into. This is trying to find the murderer of the last emperor. They probably would do a lot to stop that info from getting out.
Right.
I don't want them to know I'm onto them.
Also, are we just like accepting that? Mm. Is it just like, it's standard practice to read each other's mail, nothing to be done about
part of the game, you know?
I don't have any ideas right off the top of my head right now, but like, let's think about ways to minimize.
I got an easy one, Luke.
Yeah.
You're a courier and you deliver a letter that the seal is broken. Immediate death.
Immediate death.
Immediate death. Okay. You hand the letter over and your head gets cut off immediately.
Okay, good. I like it.
Look, I'm not letting that letter out of my sight, Luke.
This is true. This is true. I'm not even letting it jumble around in my bag.
No, 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 no. I'm not sleeping with this letter in my possession.
Yeah. You got to pay a little bit extra. It's like when you go to the post office and it's like, do you want the next day air? But this version is, do you want we kill the courier if it was red?
How much do you want this not red? Do you want to put a seal on it that nobody really respects at all and is perfectly willing to break? Or do you want the Death Note version?
Right. There's only two options.
Yeah. Well, the other is you just scream it out and hope that the gossip makes it back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bad system.
Yeah. Yeah, very not good. Especially given the contents of this letter are casting suspicion on another very powerful house.
Right.
Come on.
Also, the amount of like labor hours this is now taking,
mm-hmm.
because what somebody is employing a bunch of spies to read untold amounts of mail.
Yeah.
And then also someone now has to like come up with a code to prevent that. And then also like it takes some while to decipher the code on the other end. It adds up, okay?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're now losing significant economic activity because of this, right?
Are we?
Luke, I don't know.
What is this empire even producing except for like like lace that makes the makers go blind?
The lace is a poor choice. Clocks.
Okay. Man. Clocks. Evil
hot
lace.
Hot
air balloons. All right, you know what? All right, that's fair. Those are three important things, I guess.
You bring up a good point about the lace, though.
Yeah, can we talk about that a little?
Yeah, yeah.
How, I guess, is a big first important question. One, how is anyone deciding that they're going to... How much is this worth? Because here's part of the thing, Luke. I'm an employee working to make this stuff. I know what's gonna happen if I do it, right?
Right.
You owe me $1 billion to make this. Like, I'll do it, but for $1 billion.
Right.
Right? Like, it's just, it's so insanely expensive. Here's the other thing, Luke. I had to train to do this.
Yeah.
It's not like they can just find a random person with working eyeballs and be like, hey, do this thing and I'll pay you $1 billion. No, I'm a part of an elite craftsman guild. That means I can charge even higher prices because I will have lost the ability to use my skill, right? I will have lost. I need workman's comp now because I trained for years to produce textiles of an extremely high quality, and I will never be able to do it again after producing this one garment.
Right.
This is it. This breaks the economy, Luke. I don't know how anyone the fact that anyone is able to pay for one thing that is this is the level of wealth inequality is insane here.
Well, it almost, yeah, because just the fact that it's not even a numbers game, really.
Right.
Like, we have a number of professions in our current society
mm-hmm.
where you get paid a lot because you're taking on risk.
Yes.
Whereas this one is more like you are going to be blinded. Right?
Yeah, correct.
At least that's my understanding of it.
Yeah.
So the cost is way higher.
This one, this job is as if the radium girls knew it was giving them mouth cancer. This is like, hey, Radium gals, can you keep working on those watch faces? I know it's killing you all very quickly, but we really like those darn watches. And they're like, sure.
The other thing is, you mm-hmm. you started this question this with the question of how.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's follow that up with why.
Good question, Luke.
Because it also is damaging on the eyes of the people that have it, right?
Ooh, is it?
I think so.
I thought it was...
Isn't it like just super bright?
I think it is really... Yes. Okay, so these garments that he has are really bright because they've stitched in like mirrors into it.
But isn't that... like I don't... It would be the same risk to the person that was wearing it as it would be to the... to the workers, wouldn't it?
Well, I think the workers, the issue is like looking at something, really fine that for that long is dangerous. And I will say, I think there is sort of a analogy here with like real lace workers in the world. Like I do think actual lace, there is, I think, I want to say that there are reports of like those employees actually having eye damage from that kind of thing. I don't think they go blind, but I do think that it is like it's hard on your eyes over time. But the thing with the observer is like, I think the only reason why it was like hard on their eyes was because they had stitched like mirrors into the parasol that he was looking at. So it was like, it was like literally reflecting a bunch of light. Because I think otherwise it just looks sick as fuck. Like I think otherwise these things just look rad as hell.
But I mean, it's just, they're like, it's one of those things that's purely just a sign of wealth though, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
I mean, this feels gross to me. This feels like a thing that's so, like if I saw anybody with this, you would of course just be like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I'm throwing pig's blood on you if you're wearing this.
Right. Right. It's weird.
It's too much. It's way too much, guys. This.
It is.
I feel like.
For like, they give it to him as like a message that's kind of. What is the message?
Well, I think the message is like, haha, look how much we can make people suffer. You're going to hate this. Like, they know he's going to hate it.
Right. But like, imagine spending whatever amount of money that is on that message. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Seems out of control. Absurd to me. Seems ridiculous. But he's going to fix it, Luke.
Yeah. Totally going to fix it.
So he's going to fix it. Can we... Most of the rest of my notes are near the end here of this section. Do you have anything else before we get kind of through our two coup attempts, through the second coup attempt?
I have a small thing that I just want to say, which is that his interactions with his little cousins are delightful.
Yeah, really nice. Really nice.
When they like come to breakfast. Just a very wholesome interaction that I enjoyed enough to have to write down. That's kind of all.
Yeah.
But the rest of my notes are after the second, or the assassination attempt.
Yeah.
I guess I should call it.
Yeah. I do need to say here, Luke, Maya for sure did this murder of his family. I am more convinced now than I was
about your theory.
Than I was before that Maya's the one who caused the deaths of his father and brothers.
Okay.
I guess stepbrothers technically. And let me just talk about like why the state narrative does not make sense. Okay.
Yeah, please.
Their grand plan was to take out the emperor and put like their guy in charge, right?
to put the young guy in charge.
He was going to be married, so he would be the regent, the one who is like in charge until Idra is old enough.
Yeah.
Okay. But they said that they forgot that Maya existed. They forgot about one of the heirs? How many are there? There's not that many.
Right.
Your excuse is you forgot about the half goblin one that everybody like can't stop talking about?
Listen, Dan, it's not a way. No one ever accused them of being great planners.
Luke, they built a bomb and hit it on their airplane. They hit it on Air Force One.
Right.
And nobody knew about it at all. Luke, I feel like that is such a big detail to miss in your planning. It's not adding up. It's not adding up. Now, you might ask the question, Luke, okay, but doesn't the fact that he tried to murder Maya with a sword during the winter ball, doesn't that sort of prove his guilt? No, Luke. What it proves is he's a desperate man. What it proves is that Maya hired some quack to go talk to ghosts and throw guilt, throw suspicion onto this powerful family. You know what it does, Luke? Is it consolidates Maya's power. Because every single one of these people who he takes out, he becomes more and more powerful. All these people who might criticize him, who might have the power to oppose his rule, he's finding ways to take them out of the equation, Luke. And I think that the attempted assassination, Maya's attempted assassination, was an act of desperation. This was his last chance to stop his family and potentially himself from being labeled an enemy of the state, thrown in jail and executed anyway.
Okay.
He's a convenient scapegoat. This is the answer, Luke.
Yes, I'm here for it. 'Cause you are right that it's absurd to just forget about Maya.
Correct. I get that he's like out of the way. He's like out of sight. But, like, everybody knows that he was born and is still alive.
Right. And if you're coming up with this elaborate plan, you'd have to, like, have a checklist of, like, which heirs to kill.
Right. You have, like, one check that's everybody on the airship that's like, okay, bomb is going to get all of them. Check. And then we're going to send a little assassin to take care of this guy.
Right. His would have been so easy also.
Incredibly easy. He's got no guards. He's there with like Setharis or whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah.
It's so easy to handle that. But
yeah.
But you forget about him? No. You didn't forget.
Here's what I'll say. There's a chance, Dan, because we did hear that they were planning to do this murder on the way back, and it got inadvertently but actually purposefully moved up to the trip to the wedding.
Right.
So maybe we had maybe they were going to send an assassin after the wedding.
Luke, to
Maya.
Luke, do you remember what the person who actually built the bomb said?
I do.
Luke.
And I have a couple notes on this.
Because, Luke, one, you know, when he tells Maya this, he's not the only one in the room.
Right.
Buddy, Maya just has to go to this guy and be like, hey, help me out. Help me out.
Right.
We'll blame it on this guy. You hate this guy anyway. He's a rich asshole. We'll blame it on him.
Yeah.
It's the perfect crime. Maya did it for sure. Now I'm convinced.
I like it. I do like the theory. The other thing I'll say that's kind of in line with this is, and I don't know if Maya will do this, but there's never been a better time to do a little purge.
Maya's doing it right now. That's what this
big
is.
Big pur- big purge opportunity.
Big purge opportunity. He also gets
to
look.
And I don't know if he takes enough advantage of it, honestly.
I think he does, though, Luke, because I think here's the thing, okay? I think you put yourself in a lot more powerful position if you show that your enemies are weak rather than if you kill them. Because if you kill them, then their descendants are going to be like, we got to get revenge. But if you just show that they're weak and you can dominate them, I think they're much more likely to be like, ah, I'm not going to try it. I'm not even going to try it because he's too powerful. Because, Luke, you could say that, yeah, he didn't do as much execution as he should have.
Yeah.
But now...
Give me some more public executions.
But now he's got these people who are alive and shamed. They're like, oh, I tried it and I fucked it up. And now I have to live in this weird monastery. And
well, no. Okay. Let me be clear because what happens is the people that were involved in the assassination attempt were killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the main two that were involved in the attempt at like deposing him.
Yeah.
Are more like exiled to these. So he was like more lenient to them.
Yep. Yep.
I think take this opportunity, figure out who your like real enemies are in court and do more exiles. Okay.
I see what you're saying.
I do kind of agree with your point that like executing them kind of creates unnecessary like animosity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. These guys keep opposing me. They're clearly against me. Let's just like throw a little suspicion on them and I'll be merciful and exile them to this other place.
They don't want to build this bridge and I'm horny for the bridge. I want to
give
get
me
them
that
out
bridge.
Of here. I want to send them to Timbuktu or wherever. Where do we send people? Send them to the house
just
I had
like,
to live in.
If you survive two coup attempts,
mm-hmm.
purge it up. Maybe, okay. Come on.
I feel like two, you'd even be justified, right? You'd be like, look,
yeah,
I've
exactly.
gone through two of these. It's time for me to be safe and secure. I need to do a little of preemptive strike, you know?
Yeah.
I need to defend myself by striking first.
I'm searching rooms. I'm reading letters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is true. Look, I also think... I will say, too, to justify this purge. So, Shavian, the woman who he exiles instead of executing, who does the first coup attempt.
Yeah.
She didn't even like say thank you for not murdering her. Did you notice this?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Like, these nobles are way too, like, I feel like they are acting way too untouchable. And like, hey, listen, lady, he could have had you executed for this.
Yeah.
At least be like a little grateful.
Right.
Even if you didn't get what you wanted, like at least be like, hey, thanks for not straight up murdering me.
Right. Like you got to acknowledge your loss, you know, be like, well played.
Right. Game recognized game.
Yeah. Appreciate you just exiling me.
Yes. But instead, she like refuses to look at him and is like holding her nose up.
Honestly, at this point, it's like, all right, bring her back. We're executing.
I know.
Come on.
I would at least like scare her a little bit. I'd be like, well, you know, I thought about exiling you, but, and then have just like a guy with an axe start creeping closer.
Yeah.
I might get this guy to help me out, you know?
Because, like, I feel like the idea behind exiling her is that now Maya's like, okay, she's not going to be a threat anymore.
Yeah.
But to convince me that she's not going to be a threat anymore, like, I need something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that there's a little bit of, like, the way that they have designed where she's going is maybe... giving him some sense of security,
mm-hmm.
but her vibe is not. So it's like, no. All right, if
also,
you had acted a little bit differently, throughout this, but
did they send them together?
I don't think so.
Okay. She did send her with her like handmaid though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's too, you can't put conspirators together, guy.
Right. I mean, he says that this, the handmaid is like, just was like bullied into,
yeah,
like not bullied into almost inaction, mm-hmm, I guess, more so than like actively,
yeah,
cooperating. But I don't know. Give me a purge.
Yeah, we need a little purge. And I do think Maya is capable of it, Luke. And there's a moment here that I think really shows his true character. Mm-hmm. Especially his murderous assassination intent. But also his ability to do a purge, and that is, Luke, when his fiance is about to teach him how to dance. And Luke,
okay,
he looks deep in her eyes, and the first thought in his head is, she was not at all pretty. Quote, her nose too long, her chin too weak, dot, 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 stop it, Maya. stop it. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What?
Right. This, the funny thing is, this is like the first time I feel like we've really had her physical description.
Right. And it's insane to me. He's like, because the scene starts and I'm like, oh wow, this is going to be such a great moment between the two of them. Because he's like,
yeah,
her hand felt like a coal on my, like resting on my shoulder. Like he's feeling this intense passion about her. And then he looks, yeah, at her face and his first thought is, she's not at all pretty. And it's like, dude, you're a psycho.
This is true.
Like there's, yeah, this, like there's this, like there's this objective standard of beauty that he is just like, she does not meet the qualifications to be pretty.
Right, because like in this circumstance, you guys have been having like kind of a nice time together.
Yeah.
It's almost, it is kind of romantic.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very romantic, I think. It's like they're, yeah, developing a real bond.
Yeah. And like at that point, you typically still find the person attractive.
Right. You're not going to like focus. You're not going to be like, well, her nose is too long and her chin is too weak. She is not that pretty. No. Instead, you're going to be like, wow, her eyes are so striking. And like you're not in love with her. He doesn't know what love is. Like he doesn't know at all.
Yeah.
What this is. Oh my God. Insane. Guy.
It is. Ah. It is.
She also sounds great. Like, she sounds so cool.
She does. Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're like, God, your nose is too long. You're a half goblin, okay?
I know. They have been more, have been much more accommodating, honestly, than I would have expected, as we've discussed.
Ah, man. Just. But give her a break, please.
She seems a delight.
She seems so nice. No need to be like, looks maxing on this girl. Stop it.
Good use of looks maxing.
Thank you. Very topical. We're very topical.
This kind of brings me more to a very general point.
Okay, go for it.
Does being emperor seem really easy?
Hell yeah, Luke.
Because basically the point of this is that like being nice,
mm-hmm,
just is a superpower.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Which like which I like. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of being nice to people.
Yeah, it's good.
But things just line up so well. for Maya just to be like a good guy. And it's like, oh, now everybody in court loves him.
Yeah.
And like he's like,
well, not everybody. Kind of assumed, he did have two coup attempts.
Right, but like they were clearly comically evil people.
And also, Luke, he didn't do much of anything to stop them. It wasn't like with his wits he was able to stop these coup attempts. He just got really lucky in both circumstances.
Right. Well, not even in the second one. Like, I don't know. The first one was poorly planned, and the second one was like, yeah, he has bodyguards.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So, gotta do something better than that, folks. But it's like, everybody's coming around to him. He, as you said, he's not particularly witty.
No.
He's not particularly smart. He's not, like, making big, like, economic changes that are obviously super successful. We'll get to the bridge.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone, he's just, like, kind of nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, like, is not that remarkable of a trait. A lot of people are kind of nice. In fact, most of the people that he meets after we, like, warm up to them a little bit are like, oh, these people are actually kind of nice. So it, like, it's been kind of funny to read this and have just, like, him be so well rewarded for, like, such a basic trait.
I agree with you a lot here. And I think, so I was expecting when the Avar came, it was going to turn into a little bit of a political contest. Because, like, these are two heads of state. Presumably going to be jockeying for power.
Yeah.
Instead, it was like, hey, grandson, let's fucking chill, dude. Like, this is a chill weekend, and I'm just hyped to know you now that you're emperor. So let's just, like, chill. And also, if you don't mind, I'm going to leave some of my best bodyguards here with the sole mission to protect you. If you don't like that, it's totally okay. But they're, like, totally here for you. And it doesn't feel like, now maybe I'm wrong here, maybe we're not reading into this enough, but it doesn't feel like there is any nefarious intent with this, like, I'm helping you out with these bodyguards. It feels purely like, yeah, this is great. What a great bonding experience with our two nations.
Right. Right.
What? How does this work? Because it feels like it denies this big question that happens for any kind of authority figure. And it feels like it denies the question of how does power necessitate changes in the powerful? Like, how does you being thrust into the role of emperor change how you have to behave? Because if you don't, you get killed or deposed or, like,
or taken advantage of.
Yeah, exactly. And it feels like in this world there is none of that. In this world, the only reason emperors historically are not nice is because they're not nice people, and there's no external force that pushes them to do things that are, like, not nice. It's just that they're not nice people.
Right. And it kind of has this thing of that, like, there are no trade-offs.
Correct. Yeah.
Where it's just like, you can just pick the good one. You can just pick the good option. Right. If you're a good person, your advisors come in with, like, a list of possible decisions to make.
Yep.
And you're just like, well, I'm going to pick the one that would be good.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of those are trade-offs. Like, some of them, you have to act a certain way to achieve one goal while closing off the path to a different thing, right? And you have to, like, choose those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas this one, it's like, and this goes to the bridge thing, where it's like, I don't know, are the concerns about the bridge valid? Like, or are we just saying, like, these guys are opposed to bridges? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Luke, it's gonna make their control over their regions less powerful. So
yeah,
but
that's the stated purpose for not doing it,
for not doing the bridge. Yeah,
well, or that's the idea that like Maya thinks that they're not gonna do it.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's like, well, this would be like a huge economic endeavor, and like, we don't actually know if this will work. Like, people are genuinely not sure if it'll work, right? And so it's like, are we going to spend like a huge amount on something that will be like both embarrassing and result in like a lot of death and destruction or something if it goes poorly?
Yeah. Good question, Luke. Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds Maya's just like, it's a Brit. I saw the model go back and forth. Okay.
Guys, did you see that model? It was sick. We're doing it. Yeah. I don't know, Luke. It does seem a little too easy, especially because a lot of the times it's not even like he's picking one of the decisions that he's being offered. He's coming up with a third decision, right? He's being like, actually, can we do this? And everyone looks at him shocked. They're like, what? I can't even. How could you even dream of such a thing?
Right.
And then he just does it and nothing happens as a result. He just like is nice. Why are people shocked that he wants to do the nice thing first of all?
Yeah.
When there's no consequences for actually doing it. And second, he's not coming up with like a clever solution to these problems. It's not like he's figuring out how to do the nice thing and account for these challenges that he was being presented with. He's just like, yeah, but I want to do the nice one.
Yeah.
And it just happens to solve all the problems. Like, can you imagine, Luke, imagine the circumstance that Idra finds out he's going to exile his mom's getting exiled, and Idra's like, I'm going with her.
Yeah.
How's Maya handling that one? Give him a challenge, guys. Give him one single challenge, please. I feel like
he's working on easy mode so far.
I feel like we might be getting into reviews here, actually. Do you have more to talk story-wise?
I do have a little bit more to talk about.
Okay.
Actually, this one's kind of relevant.
Yeah.
To what we were just talking about. So you mentioned when he is talking to the people that like made the bomb and put it on the airship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The main guy with the brains behind the operation talks about it, and he's like, look, I actually completely stand by this.
Yeah.
And I intentionally did it so that you would be emperor,
mm-hmm.
because like, we needed something to change.
Yes.
And look at all these changes that you're already implementing. Whatever, whatever. And like, in this book, I guess that logic works out. But that was just like pure luck.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this could have turned out way worse.
Right. He didn't know that guy at all.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows Maya. Maybe Maya's been warped by Cetharus over years, and he gets in there and is like, I fucking hate everybody. I'm going to do violence on everybody I can.
Right. That could very easily happen. Like, this philosophy that they talk about is kind of funny.
Communism?
Because it's, yeah, the communism part of it. But also it has the idea that only good, like, it almost seems like this guy's idea is that only good things can happen.
Yeah.
If we change stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, things could get worse.
Hey,
like,
guy.
You could have a civil war that kills so many people.
Correct. Correct. The ogres could come down from the hills and eat everyone in their weakened state because they've been infighting for too long. No.
I don't know. Anyway,
Luke, they're just trying to drain the swamp, you know? They're trying to get those career politicians out of Washington.
I know. You got to.
Sorry, out of... what did I say? Washington?
uh, Other thing, Dan, that I'm surprised you didn't bring up. So when the guy actually does try to assassinate him.
Yep.
Tell me more about this death spell.
Dude.
That Kayla throws out.
Magic. More magic.
What's up with this? What's up with these? He's like, ah, that kind of stung my fingers a little bit.
What?
What? Throw out some more of these.
How are the emperors not being assassinated constantly?
Yeah.
Death spell?
What's the counter to the death spell, okay? Because this guy came up with, like, a knife. What if he had come up with the death spell?
Correct. Good question, Luke. How does the death spell work? What other spells are there? Do them all now.
Give me more. I know. We're repeating ourselves at this point, but it's like, we gotta make better use of our magic.
I'm with you, Luke. I'm with you. Yeah, and I think the biggest thing here was the fact that he is just like, his hands sting a little.
Yeah.
It's not like he collapsed in seizures because it was such a tremendous toll on his body. He just kind of was like, he got some burns on his hands.
Yeah, he's like, ah, oof.
Ooh, hot. I'm doing that every day.
Yeah, Dan's throwing out death spells every day.
Every day I'm casting a death spell because it's sick as fuck.
That's right. It doesn't even take that much prep. He just reacted.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Ah. Incredible.
Pretty good. It's pretty sweet stuff.
More magic, please.
More magic, please. All right. That's the last of my notes. Do you want to actually get into reviews?
Yeah, let's get into reviews. I'm going to start here. I was kind of getting into my review earlier. This book is just like, rah, rah, be nice to everyone and you can be the best leader around. There is not a lot of meat on these bones. I was finding myself gnawing a lot of the time, like, okay, is there anything else you have to say here? Or is this just like, hey, be nice, please?
Right.
Because there's no challenge. Maya encounters basically no challenge in this whole book.
Yes.
Where's the conflict, aside from the fact that people are kind of mean to him? Where's the, like, character growth? I get he's, like, nicer to Setharus, but it doesn't feel like that was, like... It didn't feel like he was challenged in a major way. It was just like he was a nice kid, and he stayed nice. He stayed true to his niceness, and it's worked out for him so far.
Yeah.
Ah, that's not a book. I'm sorry. That's that for me. That for me, not a book. The other thing about it that was really annoying, the name stuff. It was fun at first, and then by the end, I was like, I don't care to figure out who you're talking about anymore. This is a waste of my... And the fact that the names changed for the same person, depending on the context, it's like, your book was not interesting enough for me to learn your name system. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I give up.
I agree with you, I think, on both of these notes. The name stuff, as we talked about, I think, in the first episode on this book, is, I think, was a good thing at first.
Yeah.
Because it, like, paralleled Maya's discomfort with, like, court manners and stuff like that. And so we were kind of, like, both overwhelmed at having to remember all this. But then it was like, ah, this is... I'm not... This is actually just going to keep going for the rest of the book, I guess. I completely agree with you on the nice thing. And I don't necessarily want to belabor the point, but yeah, like
a single Machiavellian, a single Machiavellian in this world would run the entire world.
Yeah. And also, like, we kind of, it feels like a very naive viewpoint, which I kind of hate myself for saying this, but like, I don't know. Not everyone else is, like, just super nice.
Well, I think, okay, Luke, because I understand what you mean when you like, it feels bad to say you can't just be nice all the time. Right?
Yeah.
But that, I think that ignores a key component of the sacrifice it takes to actually do the right thing. Like, I think this book denies that the right thing is actually hard a lot of the time. This book is like, oh, actually, you just have to be a nice person and then you can do the nice things. And it denies the fact that there is a cost for doing the right thing.
This is the trade-off thing I was talking about earlier.
Yes. And this is where it feels like the book is presenting this really problematic view of like the right of right and wrong, that right and wrong are like inherent to your character and are not a series of like decisions and trade-offs that you are constantly making because there are costs to making the morally right choice, and you have to bear those in some way or like balance those with something else.
Right.
And I don't care if in the next book he starts to have to balance some of these things. Like, maybe this is what the next book is going to be. You have to present a few of those choices in this book. Otherwise, I think you're a child who wrote this book.
Yeah, I will also say, like, he's presented as, like, crazy for doing a lot of very small gestures for people.
Yeah.
Like, small nice things for people with very little power, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of the women, for example, he, like, listens to their wishes.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the non-nobles, right? The like normal people.
Yep.
He like honors them in ways. And it's like, that is not new technology in like a political environment. Like, we know, politicians know that there is value in like, in showing that you care about normal people.
Yeah.
So like, you're not actually going to get super rewarded for just occasional small gestures like that in the way that Maya is.
Right. Right. You're also going to run into like serious factionalism because you are politically aligning yourself, whether you intend to or not, with groups. Like, you are politically aligning yourself with the worker. You are politically aligning yourself with women. There are other factions which have kept those groups oppressed, which are now going to see you as an enemy.
Right. And it is correct to like to align yourselves with those groups, but you have to like plan for that. Right?
Yeah, Luke. It feels like, I kind of wish the coup at the end would have been way better, I think, if it was a person trying to kill him for the things he was doing today, rather than like the coup attempt was for a plan that had been put in place like months ago. If the coup attempt had instead been like, I don't want you to give women rights, like that's more interesting. That's at least a little bit of conflict. It still isn't a real conflict because it's dealt with by somebody else. Like, he doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But like, there's no tension in his government at all. It's just people who want to argue with each other.
Yeah.
Anyway, Luke, I think given all that, I am not reading another one of these books.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. I think we're on the same page here.
Okay.
Also, just, I know I mentioned this a while ago, the fact that one, he's half goblin in an elf kingdom, it's like, that would matter, I think.
It feels like everyone is too nice here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, that is The Goblin Emperor.
Yep.
Dan, I'm excited for the next book that you suggested.
What have we got? Next, Luke, we are going to be reading a classic, and it's a little bit different from our usual style, but I would still call this science fiction, Luke.
Okay.
I'm familiar with the story. Luke, I'm sure you are as well. But yeah, I am. We've never read the book, and that book is Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton.
Yes. Honestly, when you suggested this, I was like, I have never even considered reading that, but I'm excited to now.
I've been wanting to get some read some Crichton. And I think this is a great opportunity, Luke. So, first third of Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We'll read that for next week. Let's see what them dinos are up to.
Love a dino.
Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week, bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.